Isn't that cool? Do you feel something coming through those testimonies? Is there just something powerful about Jesus being pressed deeply in someone's heart? I want to talk about that tonight. We're going to first take these KFC buckets. They're kind of stacked there together. Can we split those out and we'll pass those around? If you're visiting with us tonight, we're so happy you're here, and we do not expect you to contribute to this bucket. People that are regular attenders, this is our opportunity to give back and to let God do even more great things throughout this ministry. Thank you for all the faithfulness in that. Got some scripture I'd like to read to start with tonight. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. John 15:4. I'm going to read it again. I want you to know these are Jesus' words to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You guys all, a lot of you had opportunity to go see some different faces. Some of you went home this weekend. Some of you went to Florida this weekend, or this last week. Some of you went to Mexico this last week. Some of you went on an STLF trip this last week. I got to go to Chile this last week. And in all of our trips, I know that you all saw people and you observed things in them that reflected something of their heart. And the deepest and the most core part of all of us is our heart. That is why it's in our mission statement, that we press Jesus deep into your heart. I don't want to press anything that's going to be causing you to be a fake. I don't want you to act like a Christian. I want you to be changed from the inside out. We want here for you to have Jesus impressed deeply upon your heart. If you remain in me and I remain in you, I didn't start that right. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus is the source. Jesus is the source. And I want us to fall in love with that tonight. And a lot of you have this trip and you got a chance to meet people and they got a chance to see the real deal in you. This last week, especially you that went on some kind of a mission trip, people got a chance to look at you and they got to say, is this person for real or not? This person's here to serve. This person might even be here in the name of Jesus. I want to see if they've got what they really say they've got. They're going to look at you. They want to see something from you. They want to see your heart. That's what they're looking for. How do we see it? How do we notice it? What is it that you can look to on the outside of someone and actually see that that's actually from their heart? Well, we talk a lot about good trees bearing good fruit. And it was interesting because I had the privilege of going to visit this campus ministry in Chile this last week. And I wanted to talk to them of the importance of sharing your faith in a way that is pressed, discipled, pushed, invested in, time spent. And so I spent this entire weekend with this staff, and I just talked to them about this concept over and over again. And I thought the best way to really start this meeting is to ask each of them, hey, how did Jesus get pressed into your heart? Who was it and how was it? What was give me that description of how you felt Jesus came into your heart. These are ministers. These are staff members. Every single one of them told a story of a person that invested in them? Did they use the word of God? Of course they did. Did they pray? Yes, of course they did. Was there an investment? Yes, of course there was. And God can use any way he wants to press himself deep, to be the vine in your life. But the most consistent way that I know of that Jesus presses himself into other people is through other people. And hopefully a lot of that happened this week for you, where you were in your context, even if it was at home. And so as I sat around and I listened to each one of those guys tell their story, it was just kind of emotional, really, to hear the variety of ways in which these lives were changed through other people's hearts. And it got me thinking. It got me thinking about a lot of things. It got me thinking about what I wanted to share tonight. I had a whole other sermon lined up for tonight that I just scratched today, because I want to be simple tonight. I want to be clear tonight. That the way people are going to see your heart is by seeing your fruit. And the way people see your fruit is a reflection of how you spend time and what comes out of Jesus in your heart. So, Galatians 5:22, Paul says this. He says, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you, but the fruit of the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Now, people can fake that. You might argue with me. People can fake that. People can be really nice. I've seen some really mean people be really nice before. Yeah, but usually the fruit of the Spirit is really noticeable when the circumstances don't make sense for them to be noticeable. In other words, how are they when things get tough? How are they when people are mean to them? How do they respond in those kinds? That's when you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit come out. That's when you're going to be able to test whether or not you are connected to the vine. So I made a list. I made a list of things I've seen. Some of them, a lot of them are just this week. Some of them are people that aren't even alive anymore. And some of them are people from long ago. But I thought it might be good to just share with you the examples in my life of people that I've seen that have had the Spirit, that have been connected to the vine, to see the fruit of that Spirit in my life. The first one, love. Oh, I got off the plane, and I got to meet the staff in Chile, campus ministry there, wonderful staff, 9 different people on staff, the leader of the ministry. I've been Skyping for 3.5 years, and I met his wife. So the first night was a large group meeting, and I went, and it was awesome, got to meet students. They all spoke Spanish, and I was pretty lost. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And then afterwards, I find out that, you know, Phil's wife, Ellie, is not there. She's not present. And I find out that she was hanging out with an alum of the ministry, and we got a ride home with her and talked really nice with her and everything, and she was just loving on this woman in a great, great way. Spent the night with this lady instead of coming to the meeting because this woman was making some mistakes in her life. She chose to be with a person that she shouldn't be with. Ellie spoke truth to her. She said, this is not the right guy for you. She used scripture and said, this is not the right guy for you. And yet, when this girl went through some hard times, the first person she called was Ellie. Ellie was there. And I said, you are doing such an incredible job of showing her love and truth as you are supposed to. A lot of other people would have just walked from that. She showed love in an unnatural kind of way that showed me that she had the Spirit in her. Who is it that comes to mind for you that has this unnatural love? That you know it's got to be connected to some other source, something they can't dream up on their own. Like I noticed that about her, and I was like, that came from something else. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the fruit of a really nice person. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and I can see it in this person coming out. Who is it for you? I'm going to ask you 9 times tonight, so be ready. Who's your person that you've looked to and said they've got love, unnatural love? Joy. There's this guy named Julio. I think that means July. Is that right? So they all call him July. It's kind of funny. And this dude, his English was awful, and I wish I had the video. It's a little too long for us to really show you tonight, but I showed it to my kids last night, and I meet Julio, and he's like, he comes up to me, and he's like, "Hi, my name Julio, and I do not speak good English." And I was like, "Hi." And he said, "I'm really bad with English, and I don't really like English, but I need to." And he's just smiling from ear to ear. And then I'm like talking to him, and then he walks up to somebody, and in Spanish he asks this lady if they needed help. They do his meal, and he gets his tomato, and he starts cutting up the tomato, doing an awful job. I mean, just an awful job. And he's just cutting this tomato really wide, and this girl next to him is like just doing the most amazing little cuts on this tomato, you know, chopping up for this dinner, and he's just... And he's still got this big smile on his face. And I'm like, "Julio, what are you doing?" And he said, "I am terrible cook. I am awful, awful in the kitchen, but I need to practice." Big smile, chopping up tomatoes. And then I'm talking to him a little bit more, and somebody comes up to him and says, "Hey, we need some help for a skit. And maybe you can come up and you can help act in the skit." And he goes, yeah. He turns to me and he goes, "I hate acting. I hate it. I hate acting, but I need to practice. It's fun to put yourself out there." And I'm thinking, dude, you need to talk to my kids. Like, you have this amazing joy that comes from something supernatural. The last time you've done 3 things you hate in the middle of, in a row like that, how big was your smile? Man, Julio had joy. Who's your joy person? Who do you think of when you think, man, doesn't make sense, but they're just joyful. Like, you can just feel it from across the room. Who is that for you? You got a name? I'm going to ask you to do something with these names. Peace. Saw a really moving piece on YouTube last week. Can't remember his name. He was an assistant coach for the Thunder. I can't think of his name. His wife tragically is killed. It kind of hit a soft spot with me because he had 5 kids. And he speaks at his wife's funeral. Some of you have seen this, I'm sure. And this speech that he gives came from some place other than any spirit of a man could come up with. It was incredible. It was absolute peace. And there was no condemnation. She was hit by another driver. He said, "I've got no ill will towards that other family. They're grieving too. Pray for that family." Peace. Peace that came from a place that couldn't be mustered up on their own. Who is that person for you? Kindness. Kindness. I don't really think about that word often. Kind. In Chile, Everything was really orderly. I've been in a lot of other countries, and usually it's not quite as orderly as it is here. Chile was quite orderly. Now, they had their people that were in need, and their people that were begging on the street, and they had their people that were on the buses. But that's what I noticed is most of the people that were begging, they were not on the street corners. They were on the buses, and they were performing in some way. And it kind of freaked me out because, of course, I'm not speaking Spanish and I don't know what's going on. And so I come on, and this old lady is standing there next to me on the bus, and she's a singer. And some people are really good, and then there's this lady. And she's standing next to me, and I don't know if she's about to perform or anything. She probably announced it, and I didn't even hear it, you know, because I can't understand anything. But all of a sudden, she kind of shocks me because she just, rah, 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 rah. And I don't even know what she's saying. I'm just like, what is she doing? And all of a sudden, I see people are kind of working their way away from her, and you know how that awkward thing is. And then I saw this one lady who she was engaged with her the whole time. Everyone else is like eye contact away. This one woman was looking at her eyes. And I'm just noticing, like, I'm not even speaking this language. I'm just noticing something of someone's heart. And I can see her engaged. I can see that she's smiling. I can see that she, when the lady is done, this woman applauds by herself on the bus. And then she gently comes up and she gives her a coin. Kindness. There's no reward for that. Kindness comes in a way that she's not looking for anything back. She's not going to get a pat on the back from anybody there, and she certainly doesn't owe it to this woman. She just had kindness in her soul. Who is your kindness person? Goodness. I went out to eat the first night with Phil and his wife, Elizabeth. They announce that they're pregnant. They're really excited, as you might suppose. It's their first one. They're super pumped. They're excited. And we're talking about parenting and all of those kinds of things and early marriage stuff, and it was fun. And while we were there, the waitress went off her shift, and another waitress came and gave the bill to Phil, and immediately Phil grabbed the bill and is looking it over, and he's looking it over really closely, and then he says something to her, and I was like, oh good, he caught something. They must have been trying to rip him off. And then he sends her back, and come to find out they didn't charge him for three of the drinks and something else. He says, oh man, she almost gave me a bill that was way too less. I was like, oh, you're a good man, Phil. Like, and it didn't even, like, you can tell when people are like doing it for attention, or they're just doing it because it's just the right thing. He's just good. He's just a good man. It comes from something other than within him. He has the Spirit of God inside of him. Who is your example of goodness? Faithfulness. There's nobody that I know that is more faithful than my wife. Nobody. And it's not maybe by definition of, oh, she stayed with you for 20 years. That'd be a big enough accomplishment, okay? Stay with Pete Coco for 20 years. Okay, I get that. But what she does regularly, and I hear this is one of the greatest joys to my heart, is when I hear from members at work, people that I don't know. They might come over to our house once a year, first time I meet them, and they tell me, your wife says nothing but amazing things about you. Behind my back, my wife talks about me. and it's good. And I trust it. I trust her faithfulness. Even when we're having a bad day, I trust her faithfulness. It comes from an unnatural place of faithfulness. She has the Spirit in her. Who is your faithful example? Two more. Gentleness. Man, listen to me on this one. Gentleness. First thing you learn when you're a cashier, don't put the eggs on the bottom of the basket, right? They're fragile. You got to be gentle with the eggs. You put them on the top, or you put them in a separate bag, or whatever it is. People are more fragile than eggs. People's souls are more fragile than eggs. People's hearts are more fragile than eggs. I'm learning that this week. I'm no exception. We are fragile people. And we need to treat each other with gentleness. That has to come from the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. He treats you with gentleness. He causes you to treat others with gentleness. That's what he does. My example for gentleness is the Apostle Paul. With the exception of Galatians, I believe every letter that he wrote to correct people that were clearly in the wrong, to this course, it's truth kind of stuff. It's like, hey, this is going in the Bible. He doesn't know that at the time, but this is going in the Bible. This is rich stuff written to people that are going to base their entire church theology off of what he writes them. But he knows they're fragile. And every one of those letters that he writes starts with a prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate this about you. Appreciate that about you. He had all of these examples of all these things that he appreciated. And then he's like, and now that you know that you can trust me, I've got to gently, in love, tell you some truth. And he does. Who is your gentle example? Self-control. I had a buddy in college who had what we refer to as an attractive girlfriend. It's not what we said. I was about to say something else, but and she and he had plenty of opportunities to have sex before marriage. He had, I can go into some details, I can't remember all the details myself, I just remember a number of times walking away from a situation where I knew that he was put in a situation where he could have followed through in a way that would have probably appeared to have gone unnoticed or undetected by outsiders, and he was true to being faithful and waiting for his marriage day. He had self-control. Kind of an unnatural self-control. Something that I just, at the time, looked at and I was like, at that time in my life, I was like, I don't think I could do that. Where do you get that? And it was one of the things that really let me find the Spirit of Jesus. Who is your person of example of self-control? Here's what I know. I know that those people that have that Spirit of God can run dry. I'm not talking about them losing their salvation. I'm not talking about them not being Christians anymore, but I'm talking about there seems to be some times where I think we can run a little bit dry. And there are a number of ways that they have opportunity and responsibility to fill themselves up again. But I know firsthand, because I've received two texts. I received one from an alum last night that said, I don't even know why I'm writing you right now. I just want to let you know, I think you're doing a good job, and I appreciate you. I needed that. And it was from out of the blue. And I don't know who your hero might be tonight, of a person that spoke truth to you, or a person that has shown you the Spirit in a way that was unnatural, but don't assume they're filled up. Don't assume they're fine and they're continuing to do that. Don't assume that they're just on autopilot and they're just going to be like that the rest of their life. Thank them. So what I want to do tonight, I was kind of picturing it being dark for this. What I want to do tonight is I just want to end with three songs and a messy mass texting exodus out of this place to people that we love. Y'all got a phone. Y'all got email. Some of these people are around the world. And I think they need to hear that you appreciate the Spirit of God in them. And I think if we did that tonight, I think that there could be an amazing boost of more connections to the vine happening because of some simple texts like I received last night. So you don't need to send 9, but maybe you send 1. Maybe it's just, Mom, I think you're awesome. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. Jesus, you are the true vine. We want to be in touch with you. We want to find our source from you. And we want to encourage those who have gone before us. And that we would be filled with your Spirit in a way to copy in a way what they have shown of us by falling in love with you, the source of all of this goodness and love. So fill us up tonight. May we be in touch with you. May we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.